At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's on, the biggest Maytag sale of the year at Lowe's. Buy two select laundry appliances and get up to a $100 bonus via instant rebate. Shop all things Maytag, including the new stackable Pet Pro laundry system that removes pet hair from clothes. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid through 531. See store for pricing and offer details. Advertise savings on all major Maytag appliances through Maytag.com and participating retailers. Prices may vary. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Rolling sound, clap. That just helps see it in editing purposes when you do the clap.
When you do the clap, it helps you sync the audio and the video, so you know exactly when the audio track meets the video track, because they're going to be lined up in the editing program. Otherwise, you have to like look at someone's mouth and try and get it exactly. But a clap is like that's the whole reason.
Is that with the marker,
the slate? That's what that's for.
Oh, gosh, I've been in the industry for this long.
And well, you're wearing your four-year Laura Dern consideration shirt.
I am.
Where'd you get that from?
I got it from And After That.
Oh, yes. It's South cool, Texas
like,
Forever.
Yeah. They make really cool, just like film shirts, also like music shirts, just a big combination of stuff. But let's get into it. Howdy, howdy, folks. Welcome back to Hoot and a Half. It has been so long. Thank you so much for joining us. Today is an episode with me and Mike Sheffer. I feel like it's been so long since we've done this, and it's also been so long since I've seen you, Mike.
Yes, we haven't done a one-on-one episode in a while. We've been thankful to have a lot of great guests.
I know, our last one was with Young Gravy, right?
Yes.
And sorry, folks, if I didn't ask about Sherry. We didn't know. We didn't know all of that was going to be happening.
Did we get a lot of comments of people upset about that?
You know what? I didn't even want to look at the comments because I felt like people were going to be like, why didn't Matt ask about Sherry, Addison Rae's mom? Because he went to the VMAs with her and everything. And yeah. None of that was really, I guess all of that was being plotted while we were hosting him, but
the comments I saw were all overwhelmingly positive. People saying this was like one of the best interviews they ever saw, and he really liked it, which
well,
was cool.
I just regret that I never asked anything, but I didn't know because it was just the timing of it all.
Yeah, but we're also not here for the drama. We're here for the laughs, the education, having a good time.
That's right, Mike. Thank you. But yes, you have been in Israel.
Yeah, I went to Tel Aviv, Israel.
With the motherland?
Some would say. I think Russia is like where that term comes from, going back to the motherland.
Would you say it, the homeland?
The homeland, yeah.
The Zion? Yeah. No, or that's...
No, that's, yeah, that's it.
Okay, anything can be a Zion, right? I don't know.
No, I think Zion is like a place.
I thought Zion's Africa.
No, I don't think so.
Wow.
I'm not sure, though.
Okay.
I'm not that... Have you seen that GeoGuessr kid on TikTok who's... My best guess is blindfolded, upside down,
you
black
know what?
And white.
In the beginning of the GeoGuessr guy, I was like, I get it. The guy has studied it very, very well. And then now the GeoGuessr guy, for the people who don't know, and if you don't know, I don't know where you're getting your media, but there's a game called GeoGuessr, and it drops you in a random place on Earth via like a Google Street View. You know when you go on Google Street View, you can see all around you in different locations. They drop you somewhere on planet Earth. You don't know where it is, and you have to guess where you are. And there are these guys out there, one guy in particular who seems to be the pro of it all, who can guess instantly where he's at. And at first I was like, okay, he's studied the roads. You can understand, oh, I know that we're in Oslo because they have two white lines running down everything. Or I know I'm in Thailand because they have these red markings on all of their poles. There's all of that. But now he's getting to the point where he's guessing it in 0.5 seconds,
yep.
In distorted. Did you see the distorted mode?
Yep, he does all these different, like, it was cool, yes, because you get to see an image, and for me and you, it's like, okay, this is somewhere on Earth, clearly, we have no idea, but he'll say, oh, this has this type of grass on the side, and this type of street light, so we're in Zambia. And he'll get it right.
You know what I have a problem with?
What?
Very cool talent, man. Really cool that you're streaming, you're sharing it with everybody to be like, wow, he figured out where exactly it is. How about you go solve some crimes?
Maybe he will. Maybe that's what he's building toward a career. Wait,
how is the FBI or the CIA not hitting this guy up and being like, we need you?
Yeah.
But then again, what is... like? I bet that guy could have found Bin Laden like that. In an instant. Oh, wait, let me see the video. Oh, we seem like got some rocks there. Oh, yeah, that's definitely in this mountain region.
Yeah.
He could have solved... how many years were we looking for Bin Laden?
I think this is his resume. He's putting it out on TikTok. Because what he's done now is he's upgraded his like tactics where he will be blindfolded and he'll have someone else read, like not even read, describe what that other person's seeing. And they'll even... What that other person looks at is like only the grass or the rocks. Like they don't even look at the road.
Can I also share one of my speculations about those guys?
Sure.
I don't think that the GeoGuessr algorithm is really that deep. I think after you've played over thousands of hours, you've seen all the spots.
Like, I don't think it's
really truly random every time?
I think they probably have a code that literally will put any possible like the coordinates. And it's just going to generate random coordinates because that's all it is.
I know, but the just how fast it is, sometimes I'm not buying it. But, okay, I roll with you on that. I used to pay for GeoGuessr for like a whole year. I paid for it.
Because it costs money to play the game.
Yeah, it does. Mm. It's like $2 or $3 a month or $30 for the whole year. Mm. And I was getting kind of good at it. The thing is, when you play it by yourself and no one else is watching and you get a really good guess.
It's not satisfying.
No one's there to witness it. And it's cooler than scoring some points on a video game or gunning somebody down in Fortnite.
Yeah.
It's a thrill. Have I ever said my proudest find I've ever made on GeoGuessr?
I don't think so.
Okay.
You were the first person, I will say, to introduce me to GeoGuessr probably like a year and a half ago. And I hadn't heard about it from anyone else except for you. And then I see this kid on TikTok and I'm like, oh, that's the thing Matt told me about.
I've known about it for kind of years whenever I saw it on an Ask Reddit where they go, like, someone asked, what are some fun websites that you can go to play a quick, easy game to kill time? And someone said GeoGuessr. But I was on the world level because you can pick world, United States. You can even pick your own state if you want to guess places around that. I was on the world level and they dropped me in the middle of a suburb and instantly I go, I'm in Texas. I know for sure that I'm in Texas. The way the trees are.
You can just feel it.
I could feel it. And I was in a suburb and the way the houses were. I go, I am in Texas 100%. But then I was like, I got to narrow it down. And I knew, though, I wasn't in Dallas. And the way I kind of knew was that the curbs in this particular neighborhood were flush with the street. There was no curb.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But it was a suburb.
Okay.
A curbless suburb. But I knew that all of these houses, these like track style housing, you know, those neighborhoods where it's basically the same five floor plans repeated over and over.
You pick the one you want from the catalog and that's the one you get.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I knew it was one of those. So I knew it had to have been built like early, mid 90s. Then I was like, this is Houston. Austin, a little too hilly. San Antonio, a little too hilly and rocky, or a bit of a Spanish influence with the architecture. Okay. You can kind of tell that in San Antonio. And so I'm looking at Houston and then I go, this isn't Katy or like a lot of like the really like flashy new suburbs. This is one that had to have like peaked in like the 90s. And so I go to Spring, Texas, and I just guess that area. Buddy, I was right across the highway
from the same street.
Just pretty much less than a block away. Probably a half a mile away on World, and I got tons of points.
Wow, that's
just
huge.
Needed to brag about this, guys.
Do you have a screenshot of the victory? Did you like take
probably, but I have a lot of screenshots. Oh my! So I don't know. I got to find out the exact.
That would be cool if you can find that. We'll put it up.
But yeah, yeah, it would be kind of cool just to put that up. But honestly, I'm just trying to brag and make myself seem cool. David is obsessed with the GeoGuessr guy. David Dobrik will send the GeoGuessr video dude in our group, the Vlog Squad group chat, like once a week.
Really?
He's like, I can't believe this.
Yeah. That kid, I like that he also leaned into like the negative comments where people are like, have you ever touched grass or like you ever had a girlfriend, whatever? And he'll like stitch a video of like a hot girl being like, has a girl ever Snapchatted you? And then he goes, nope. And then he goes, we're in Tanzania. Like, you know, like you think it's going to be responding to something else, but he's like leaning into the character, which is great.
So you just got, okay, we didn't even like talk about Israel.
Oh yeah, I was there.
2 weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Airbnb.
Airbnb with the whole fam.
With the whole fam.
Bunk in Tel beds Aviv. With your brother?
No, thankfully I got my own room.
Cool.
And yeah.
Do you stay always at the same spot or like the same neighborhood?
So we actually got an Airbnb 2 years ago or 3 years ago when we were there. And we just rebooked a different Airbnb this time that was a little bit bigger. And it turned out to be in the exact same building, just on the penthouse instead of on the first floor. So we stayed in the same building we stayed at 3 years ago.
Penthouse.
I mean, it's Tel Aviv. It's not like a, you know, New York City Park Avenue penthouse. But yeah, it was a nice time. I just basically would wake up, get some hummus and pita bread for breakfast, some chickpea. I don't know if people know what hummus is, right?
Hummus.
Hummus, tahina, or what do you call it? Hummus and tahina in America.
Zane says it hummus.
Yeah. It's an Arabic Israeli food.
Yeah.
And then I would just walk on the beach for like 6 miles a day.
Are you mean? Okay, you said you didn't even have a single drink of alcohol when you were there.
I have not had a sip of alcohol in 21 days, 3 weeks.
Good on you, man.
I'm going for 30 days and then...
Did you still go out?
No, like, I didn't go out once.
Why not?
I was not in like the right headspace to like go out. I really wanted to... Because last time I was there, I was going out to the bars. I'm like, you know, drinking, talking to people, whatever. And... It was fine, but I would, like, wake up hungover, I'd wake up late, and I really wanted to maximize my beach time and, like, wake up early, enjoy my meals, and also, like, I don't know, just going out. It just wasn't the right, like, headspace for me to go out, so I was...
Were your brothers going out?
Jerome was going out pretty late every night. He was, you know, sometimes not even coming home.
Are you meeting up... Do you have friends who live in Tel Aviv and you hit them up? Are they always excited when you roll through? Some are they your American friends or your Israeli friends?
I have both. So it's really, like... I feel like going to Israel for me is kind of like when you go back to, like, Texas.
Okay,
like,
sure.
I see people that, you know, I haven't seen since, like, high school or college because there's a lot of Americans that live there. So, like, people I knew 10 years ago at college, they have an apartment in Tel Aviv and they live there
now. Are they speaking English when you guys are all hanging out?
Yeah,
or
always English, yeah.
Their friend circle, they're all...
It's, like, a mix.
Okay.
I'm usually speaking English, except when I go in, like, restaurants and stuff because my new fresh... Shaved haircut.
Yeah.
I was getting, like, usually you get pointed out as a tourist pretty quickly and they'll hand you an English menu at restaurants. But I'm very proud of myself that for whatever reason on this trip, I would always get the Hebrew menu.
Because of the buzz haircut?
I think it's because I look less American with the buzz hair. I look a little tougher, a little more Israeli.
All right.
Yeah. So that was really...
Then you're like, shit, now I got this whole menu in front of me. You're like, I'm so flattered, but now I got to whip out Google Translate for some stuff.
Yeah, but it was a great trip. I tried to get tan, which didn't really happen. That's always my dream, is I want to come back from a vacation and have friends say, oh my God, you look so tan. It's never happened one time, ever.
You're always like got a nice glow during like this time of year.
I know, but I want to come back like looking tan.
Just like a nice tan?
Like I want someone else to be like, oh my God, you look so tan. Because I see it when other people even go away. Like, you know. You don't get ass tan, but you know your friends that come back from a trip.
I can bronze up if I'm like tanning. But now my psoriasis is like completely clear.
We made it.
I mean, I can like kind of see it when I'm working out, but like it's not breaking the skin anymore, if that makes any sense.
Still on your Humira treatment, so that's
I have an opportunity to get a prescription again, but I kind of don't want to get it. Dude, it's so expensive. It's like $250 every time I pick it up, which is a shot every 2 weeks or something like that. It's really expensive. I should talk to my doctor and like catch up to be like, is it cool if I'm off of it? But it's an immunosuppressant, so it makes you more likely to get sick. And I got some big things planned and I don't want to take it right now and get sick.
Right.
But I was in London, came back, was sick as a dog, but only for like 24 hours. I had like a fever, super sick.
Yeah, traveler. You got a traveler bug.
And then the next Friday, or then like a week later, I was sick again, had a fever, but only for like 24 hours. It was the strangest thing. Thought I had COVID, tested myself multiple times. I don't know what it was.
How was London? Any funny stories?
Dude, okay. London was a great time. It was my fifth time going to London, and it was with my family. It was kind of like our first big like international, just our family trip. But it was cool because we did like... I guess you could say a lot of like the touristy things.
Have your parents been to London before?
My dad had never been.
So Cindy's first time.
Cindy's first time. We were actually originally planning on going to Paris, but my dad really put his foot down and was like, I'm sorry, I really want to go to London.
Did your mom try and talk in a British accent?
No, my mom is not that kind of a mom where she just mocks people to their face.
Not mocking, just like genuinely trying to like fit into the culture.
My dad will kind of start saying things that he normally doesn't say.
Like, let's take the lift.
He'll ask someone to take a photo and then like he'll get the picture back and he goes, many thanks. What was that? I've never heard you say many things, but he's in this international...
You just see your dad putting on a new personality when he's like out and about.
Yeah. It's just like, okay. But it was exhausting. But the thing is, I don't even want to like call it a vacation because I felt like we were doing something every day, walking well over 10,000 steps. Yep. And it was nice drinking and going places and stuff, but like I never felt like I was relaxed just sitting on a beach and reading. Like, yeah. My legs were beat by the final days, but it was cool. Saw Buckingham Palace, saw the crown jewels. It's wild that now, for the people listening, the queen died yesterday.
Yep.
While I was out there, which was just a couple weeks ago,
I remember walking and gave her that drink that
I was joking that like I was in the Buckingham Palace and I opened up like a door into her private quarters and she was just getting out of the bathtub. but I
coughed in your hand and shook her hand.
No, but I did not joke, but I did say while we were there, what would happen if we were out here and like the queen died? Wouldn't that be like something?
Yeah, I think you're probably better off that you got out, because I feel like just
everything shuts down.
The bureaucracy of like trains and planes and getting places, it's just like it's a shutdown. So I think you avoided it.
Yeah. So, but it was just weird thinking that while I was there, and then sure enough, it just happened. That was really cool. We went to like the Tottenham Hotspur game.
The what?
Tottenham. Tottenham, but it's like Tottenham Hotspur. Okay. It's like it's their
field hockey?
No, but like soccer, football.
I know.
We went to that soccer game. I know it's football, but I just say soccer because it's easier for my brain.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. Absolutely.
Did you say brilliant?
Have you ever been to a professional soccer game?
No.
And I know for the people who may be listening and talking, I've said this on Unfiltered, but for our Hoot and Half family, I want to talk about this. It is a whole different thing going to an international soccer game.
Okay.
Compared to just going to like any major sport event in the United States. Now, I know experiences are different for certain arenas, certain football clubs, and how they like to run things. We had premium seating, so we were almost in this like airport lounge kind of area. Mm-hmm. And they served like really, I don't know, beers, nice food. But you can't drink in your seat at all. You can only drink water.
Okay.
And also, when the game starts, so everyone has to like finish up their beers. You go and sit down in your seat. And then what I thought was interesting, so like that premium seating lounge area that had all big windows to look out into the game, they then shut the windows.
So you can't watch the game
from the lounge. You can't watch the game from indoors. You have to be out there in your seat. And you can't be drinking. And then what I also thought was interesting, if you go up and go to the bathroom, usually at most sports place, they're playing the commentary of like the game happening on the speakers. Or if you go into the bathroom, they got the TVs up on the game.
Yep.
Nothing. They're playing Top 40 the whole time.
Strange.
It felt like this weird psychological trick, but really it's just the etiquette of the place. Respect the game, honor the game.
And
also, you can't really chat in your seat. If you are talking or hollering about something, it has to really be about the game.
What
or you have to be doing a chant.
What happens if you're talking to your dad about something? Someone's going to call you out?
No, you can, but you'll notice, like, I shouldn't be talking right now. Kind of a thing.
Oh, it's like being at, like, a...
You can, like, chat and kind of mutter, but, like, I realized it wasn't just, like, I don't know.
Going to a Lakers game and kind of just hanging out.
Yeah. No chips, popcorn, cotton candy, none of that. No mascots, no cheerleaders, no instant replays, no kiss cam. You realize also how much junk we are like fed at sports games. Also, how minimal the advertising is too, especially indoors. Outdoors, I mean, it's all around like the banners and stuff.
It's a lot more purified and distilled.
Yeah, I was really expecting there to be like some hooligans.
No t-shirt cannons?
No, none of that. None of that.
Hey, row 107. Let's see those hands.
Did you ever catch anything from like a t-shirt cannon?
Not one time.
Or when they would drop like stuff.
I know. It's the most frustrating thing in the world because it seems like it's so attainable. I've never done it.
Have you ever won like a raffle?
Nope.
No.
Never won a raffle. Never won a lottery ticket. Never won a...
Did you buy the Mega Millions?
No.
Or the one that went up to a billion?
We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Audible.
That's right, Audible. One of my favorite apps I love to use every day, every week, every month. I love books. I love reading. But sometimes I'm on the go and I don't have enough time to really devote my eyes to reading those books. And that's why I love to use Audible.
Audible offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre, from bestsellers and new releases to celebrity memoirs, mysteries, thrillers, motivation, wellness, business, and more. You'll discover exclusive Audible originals from top celebrities, renowned experts, and exciting new voices in audio.
As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. And all Audible members get access to a growing selection of audiobooks, Audible originals, and podcasts that are included with the membership. You can listen to all you want, and more gets added every month.
As you know, we use Audible basically every day. It's great for headphones, just playing it on your phone, whether you're on your way to work, maybe even at work, if you have a little downtime. I listened to so many audiobooks when I was traveling on the airplane, just walking along the beach. Truly, Audible is great anytime, anywhere.
And even if it's a book that you've already read, you've already listened to, and you're so familiar with it, I love falling asleep listening to Donna Tartt reading The Secret History. It's one of my favorite books, and I love the way she sounds, and it's a beautiful book that just rocks me to bed. So let Audible help you discover new ways to laugh, be inspired, or to be entertained. New members can try it for free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/hoot or text HOOT, H-O-O-T, to 500-500.
That's audible.com/hoot or text HOOT, H-O-O-T, to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. audible.com/hoot.
And now back to the episode. The worst is that when I do buy those lottery tickets, though, I get this like anxiety the days leading up to it. Because I think I'm really going to win.
I know. That's the whole...
to the point where I'm like, Matt, snap out of
it. Yeah, it's impossible.
Every time I do it, I genuinely think it's going to be me.
That's the point. That's what they get you on.
I know.
Norm Macdonald has a really good quote about gambling.
Share it, Mike.
And he says...
Gambling in general.
Yeah, well, he was addicted to gambling. He lost like all of his money like three times. Like he lost $400,000 on one bet one time. But I read his book and he said that a lot of people think that you're addicted to the winning, but I'm going to butcher the quote, but he basically says like when you're playing roulette and that ball is spinning, what you're addicted to is the hope. And that's a wonderful thing to be addicted to.
I guess so.
Which is, you know, it's an interesting way to like justify gambling.
Would I get fired up about
like the hope?
It's not even the money. To me, it's not even like the money. I've already like tried to picture winning. What I get like all excited about is the secret
you want to have the secret?
No, of knowing you won and then being like, now I have all this money. How am I going to live my life with this secret?
Yeah.
It's casually build up my wealth to where nobody can catch on. The only people I would probably tell you, and I would get, if I won $1 billion, I'd give you a couple $1 million. Trust me, I really would, Mike.
Likewise. I would make sure we're all set. Yeah.
All set. We've done enough work together where like...
We would be set for life.
We can chill.
I would set you up too, just to make that very clear.
I would make that clear. And I would tell like Patricia.
I'll let you continue.
But... I could not live with myself, even knowing I had all that money, buying the awesome house, but everybody in my life would be, because you won the fucking lottery.
Yeah.
Whoop-de-doo, good for you. No one is really that happy for the guy who wins the lottery compared to someone who's like built up their wealth and has earned it.
So you would never say that you won the lottery. You would just accumulate a better and better lifestyle.
I made some good investments, some good stocks, some crypto stuff, and I just pulled out. I really don't want to go into it.
Right. So you would never be the guy who won the lottery. That's not the...
No. But then sometimes I thought like, oh, would it be fun? No. The thing is, what would haunt me is
the
people who would want...
Yeah.
Like, oh, your great aunt, Aunt Betty, like, yep. has bone cancer and you're not doing anything about it.
Right.
And then you're like, well, when has she ever hit me up for anything, you know? But all respect, yes. I'd probably help sincere members of my family if they were in need. But
yeah.
it's just, oh my gosh, how... Then you're now dealing with the anxiety of also... lying.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Is you like the idea of keeping a secret?
No, the thing is, no, it's not liking it. It's just like, oh my God, how am I going to go about doing this? And knowing it's going to be the biggest act for the rest of my life.
I feel like that's too much pressure. Like, you don't think you would snap one day?
And just be like, guys, I won the fucking lottery.
That was me. I did.
Well, maybe a couple years down the line, like 10 or 15 years, I'd open and
lose. You think you could last that long?
Yeah, because there was a family, and I'm pretty sure I'm right about this. I need to like confirm with my family about it because it happened when I was younger. There was a family that we knew that won the lottery, but we didn't find out until like 8 years after.
Interesting.
Like,
okay.
They moved away, had a nice house. I don't know. We weren't even that close with them, but they lived around the corner from our house, and then they moved and just went to a different town.
But as far as you knew at the time, they just moved.
They just moved.
Right.
And
yeah.
then people found out later that they had won the lottery.
There is like a big protocol of like what you need to do. You know, hire a trust. You don't go public. Like the person who won this half a billion dollar. No, it is.
Oh, just now it finally got claimed?
No, it's been weeks. No, well, so the person won it. We don't know who it is. That person's remained anonymous. But yes, they haven't claimed it, but there is a winning number. And what is likely happening is that person is going through the motions of like hiring the legal team, hiring the trust, working with the banks. Because the other side of it is like I've read a lot about like winners of the lottery. And I think it's like something like 90% of people who have won the lottery have ended up 100% broken in debt.
Or in just terrible places in their life.
Yeah, or committed suicide. Well,
a lot of marriages, divorced, yeah. Terrible relationships with their family.
Like,
all of it.
It's like a more than 50% likelihood that if you win the lottery, your life is going to get worse.
So why do people, when they win the lottery, you see in some cases where they'll immediately go and do a freaking press conference?
Because they're idiots. They don't know. Like, they just don't know any better. And that's what I think when you win a lottery, it's like the definition of traumatic is too much, too soon, too fast. And we only think about that as like a negative thing. But winning the lottery is a traumatic experience. It's too much, too soon, too fast. And that fucks people up.
Yeah.
And I like to think that I'm smart enough. Like, everyone thinks they're smart enough. Hey, I'm not going to be that guy who ruins my life if I win the lottery. But like, I don't know. That's a lot of money to deal with.
I don't know. Then I try to think about like, oh, then what is that like? That lifestyle? Is there anything that I really want?
Right.
There is nothing like truly that I'm like, besides like a nice home.
Yes.
That like I really want. I don't want a boat. I don't want a jet.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, you don't. Then it's just responsibilities. These are like things you have to deal with and take care of. And
I don't even want that big of a house. I think big houses sometimes are nightmares to live in,
and you have to keep them clean, and it's scary, and like could be someone living in a room that you don't visit often.
I've known families who've lived in these massive homes that are so big where even they have a handful of kids. The kids in those homes, they feel like roommates to one another and not siblings.
Right, they're not like a family.
They don't have that like intimacy or like that daily ritual that like what a normal home has.
Right.
Which I'm so mindful of, where there's a level of a house where it's like, yeah, that's ballin', but that's not like a beautiful home.
And who's it really for? Is it for you, or is it to show off to, you know, your neighbors? Oh, I got the biggest house on the hill.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I think what I would do too is like, I would figure out a way to just maximize the amount of impact of good I could have on the world. Like, I would go and fund orphanages, like, all over the world.
Oh, you're passionate about orphanages.
I think so. I think that's, like, something I would feel that I could do is, like, just help kids who are...
Are there a lack of orphanages in the world?
I don't think orphanages are, like, a highly funded thing anywhere in...
I guess I don't know much about that.
That's what I'm saying.
I do care about the children.
Yeah. But it's like, you know...
The guy,
you know the company Echo, E-C-K-O, that like back in the 2000s, it was like the streetwear brand Echo?
Yes.
Mark Echo?
With the rhino?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the other guy, the co-founder of that, is this Jewish guy that I knew back in New Jersey, and I was friends with his son, and he basically started this t-shirt company like in the early 90s with one of his friends, and he had visited, I think it was Ukraine actually, and there was like a children's orphanage in Ukraine that like when he visited, he just saw was like run down, and like there was all these happy little kids, but it was like a rundown orphanage, and they started this company, and like right before they were gonna sign the papers to like start the company, he said, hey, if we make $1 million, when we make $1 million, the first thing we're doing with the company money is going to the orphanage and like fixing it up and like doing, you know, an overhaul and giving them all this money. Turned out to be the company Echo. They made all this money, and the guy went to Ukraine, went to this orphanage, it like gave them all this money, and then there was like one kid there that he was just like really like attached to. This kid was like smiling, a 7-year-old kid, happiest kid ever. He ended up bringing him home with him back to New Jersey and adopted him, and now it's like this kid that I went to Rutgers with.
Whoa.
Yeah. And that story in my brain was like, damn, that's like a cool reason to make money. Like, because there's, it kind of,
well, who's it? Casey Neistat told me this, but I think he probably had heard it from somebody else. Was that like money makes good people better and bad people worse.
Yeah. It just exposes more of who you truly are.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm with you though. Like what are you going to spend money on? Like you have, you know, your basic
honestly,
needs.
Honestly, it's all the tiny purchases of things that I don't need, but I kind of would want, but I talk myself out of getting. Like, I would love the roof. I would love to have the roof rack on my car with the little mud flaps and the little side ladder that, like, is the more souped up version of my car. But I'm like, I don't need a roof rack on my car.
What am I putting
on top of my car? I want it for the looks. Yeah. But that's where like those, it's the tiny little things where I'm like, I've always kind of wanted that. Also some furniture.
Let me ask you that. Is the roof rack like you need to get a different version of the car?
No. Roof rack, but it's like $1,000, $2,000. And I'm like, I'm putting that on merely for looks.
Would it make you happy though?
No. Well, I just sometimes when I just always feel my car looks a little unfinished compared to other people who have the Defender, have the more souped up ones. And whenever I see them, I'm like, oh, they added all on all the accessories.
What I will say.
That is, once again, silly things that I would buy.
Yeah, I'm with you. I get it.
But I talk myself out of buying it all the time because I go, that's just a want. It's not a need. And it's a silly want.
But do you spend time like looking at it, like looking at images of it?
I did for a while. And then I just talked myself out of it. I'd rather use that money and spend it on things that matter.
Like what? What matters?
I don't know. Traveling.
Okay.
I don't know. Things that will make me money, you know?
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
What are you holding back, Mike?
Well, I'm just going to say, I think that you're doing this, you have the right idea and the right approach with like material things. A lot of the joy and like excitement that you get is the anticipation of getting it. So like this whole concept of you like fantasizing about having this car with these extra perks, like that whole pre-owning it is better than actually owning it.
Correct.
So, like, you're getting all the joy.
Valid. Yeah. And that's why a lot of times I don't buy things because I'm a firm believer in buyer's remorse.
Yes.
When you buy something, it's never as good as you ever...
Yeah, it's always better in your mind than, like, when you see it on your car, you're like, well, now what do I want to get?
Correct.
Because, like, you just got rid of this, like,
desire. And there's a lot of people I know who can't stop shopping because they're in the...
It's an addiction.
They're having the buyer's remorse, but they've never recognized the phrase buyer's remorse,
right,
and that it is a real thing. If you are a conscious shopper, then you will, I don't know. It's a better practice to have about things.
Yeah.
Before,
that's why I love getting free. That's why I always wear free clothes. Because
I know. When you do.
Shout out to Patricia, Matt's lovely girlfriend, for getting me the New York Times Spelling Bee t-shirt from my birthday.
Which we love the Spelling Bee game.
Shout out to Sam Azurski. Akerzi? What's his name? It's either Azurki or Akerzi or something like that.
Is it a Jewish last name?
That sounds like it. Probably is.
I would trust you.
A guy doing a puzzle game in the New York Times in
probably
New York City
Jewish
is probably
guy.
A Jewish guy, yeah. So shout out to him. I'd love to get him on the podcast, actually. Oh,
you think so?
I think he would come on.
Yeah, we should.
I wonder what kind of guy he is, though. Or Will Short.
Will Shorts, yeah. With a Z.
The lottery thing is really cool. I just don't know. I feel like...
Shouldn't you? Then I've always thought I need to have just a lot of dollar bills in my car, and every time just buy a lottery ticket, just one number, but just do it every time. Because wouldn't you want? Because every time a lottery happens, when there's a winning number, it could have been you.
I know, but
you just didn't buy the ticket.
It's not ever gonna be.
You don't know that, Mike.
I would think for the lottery, like the thing that I would rather do is win like $200,000 on like a scratch off.
Yeah.
Those I think are more realistic. Maybe I'm completely wrong and I have no idea, but it just seems so astronomically insane that you're competing against like 100 million people versus like, oh, some like hot tamale scratch off for like $3 and it's like went up to 250. And I would feel so happy if I won like $30,000 on a scratch off. I feel like that's a better lottery experience than winning like $300 million.
You know what's a cool little scratch off story? Patricia and I, we went to one of our friends' birthdays. I'm not going to say who it is. I want to respect the privacy of the family. They're billionaires. Okay.
Okay.
Crazy. And we're at this like really big ranch. They have a whole section for us to like stay the night and an incredible party, incredible food, everything. And then towards like kind of the end of the night, someone brings out a pinata and they're like, someone's only like a couple people are standing around with this pinata, and I'm sitting there with Patricia. We're kind of far away, and I start joking. I'm like, I bet when that pinata opens, there's gonna be like tons of cash in it.
No way.
Suddenly it cracks, and I see all of these cards fly everywhere, and I go, oh my gosh, Patricia, go, go, let's go. We walk up, it's nothing but scratch off tickets, Visa cash cards, and vapes.
Oh my god.
No candy. All like this. And so, dude, I'm talking about ton. The thing was stuffed with scratch off cards.
How much money was on the Visa gift cards?
Like 50 to 100 bucks.
Oh my god.
So I start so going, cool. I managed it. Patricia, I got like $100 one. I got $100 Visa gift card. Those were a little rare. All of them were scratch offs. We had like a stack of scratch off cards. I think.
Did you win?
Yeah, but in total, we probably made like $75 off the scratch off cards.
Yeah.
So
it's a losing game.
It was quite a lot, but knowing that I didn't have to spend anything on the scratch off cards was pretty nice.
Yeah. So if you won the like $500 million lottery, would you buy the roof racks for your car?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I would do all those little tiny things that I've always wanted to buy, but I don't know. Yeah.
Interesting.
Also a question I have, you know, when you like walk up to a gas station or any place that sells lottery tickets, they always have that sign outside that goes, at this location, we have given over $850 in prize, $850,000 in prize earnings. Is that from one ticket or collectively?
Collectively. I also think that certain places will get a commission if they're the ones who printed the winning ticket. So they're like incentivized to get people to buy lottery tickets because they get a small commission if the winning ticket was bought like at that 7-Eleven or whatever. But
the holidays are sneaking upon us, woo, which can be pretty stressful. You may be thinking about what gifts you want to get other people, making sure that all your addresses are updated. Is everybody still in the same location? Because you don't want to be sending anything out to someone who is now in a different place. But thankfully, I have found a whole bunch of relief from using stamps.com.
And if you're a small business owner, you already know how important it is to be ready for the insane holiday season. If you haven't started preparing for the chaos of holiday mailing and shipping, you're already falling behind.
Luckily, Stamps.com has everything you need to make your life a whole lot easier. It is basically the 24/7 post office that you can access anywhere. No lines, no traffic, no hassle.
Stamps.com is your one-stop shop for all of your shipping and mailing needs. For more than 20 years, Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses. You can get access to the USPS and UPS services you need to run your business right from your computer.
And with inflation rates on the rise, every dollar counts. So protect your margins with major discounts from USPS and UPS rates up to 86% off. It is a stress-free solution for every small business. Use stamps.com to print postage wherever you do business. All you need is a computer and a printer. And if you need a package pickup, you can easily schedule it through your stamps.com dashboard.
Rates are constantly changing. With stamps.com switch and save feature, you can easily compare carriers and rates so you know you're getting the best deal every time. And if you're running an online store, stamps.com works seamlessly with all the major shopping carts and marketplaces.
So get ahead of the holiday season this year. Get started with stamps.com today. Sign up with promo code HOOT, H-O-O-T, for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code HOOT, H-O-O-T.
And now back to the episode.
Okay. Are you doing fantasy football?
No, never
have.
You're
not doing fantasy, man? Well, I know. I never do fantasy football, and I always feel really left out. The times I have done fantasy, I love it because watching football, me, I don't really care for it.
Right.
I actually get excited when the games come on, and I ask people how certain players are doing, and it's fun keeping up with it because I'm in a league with a bunch of my Texas guys.
Okay, who probably know way more than you do.
Yeah, they do. But when I got third pick on the draft, and so I did all this research of which players I should be picking round by round.
Okay.
And I did all this research, and my team, looking good.
Really?
To the point where like the guys in my group are like, Matt, nice team.
Where were you doing the research? Reddit?
TikTok. TikTok is the new Google. So I'm like, there's just some guy on TikTok. He's like, this is your round by round pick. You definitely need to pick up Kirk as your tight end. And if you haven't picked up a quarterback, get Jalen Hurts and all this stuff. I have a good team.
And did you put money into the pool so that like...
Yeah, it was $50 for my high school friends. And then I'm in another fantasy league with my family. And that's like a $10 buy-in. The punishment, if you lose in our fantasy group for my high school friends...
Yeah. Besides for the money?
You have to set up a lemonade stand for like 4 hours in like a public place and say, I suck at fantasy football. We had a vote on it. Dude, the other ones were like, you have to go to a nice restaurant and eat with a blow-up doll. Like,
what?
There were some really silly ones. And you know what's funny? These are like, you know, my college. Just like,
yeah,
you,
Texas bros working in insurance.
The names of these teams that they come up with are like...
Like the fantasy football team in like the, yes, in the app.
So what do you think my team's name is?
Like the Matt Pack or something?
Punxsutawney Groundhogs.
Okay, that's a great name.
Great name.
Punxsutawney Groundhogs.
The other guys in the group are ones like the Pittsburgh Feelers. The
oh my god,
dude! They're the all.
Are these like frat guys?
Kind. Yeah, I would say they're just like your, you know.
Yeah,
those kind of guys. And I was like, Jesus, what is this? But it's kinda...
So like every time you open the app, you have to see those insane names on your phone.
Yeah. Oh, right now, boy. I'm playing the Pittsburgh Feelers.
Would you open up a store if you won the lottery? Like a business.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What kind of what would you open up?
I would love to make like a t-shirt business. Like,
oh,
like
interesting.
The idea of like printing shirts, sending out orders, that seems kind of fun.
Like you would want to be like a mega yacht.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be really, really cool.
Would you design your own shirts?
Yeah. The thing is, I always like to think that I can design and illustrate, but I'd want to probably get someone to like commission the illustrations.
But you have the ideas, you just don't have the physical.
Yeah, like, I'd open up that kind of a business. I'm trying to think of anything else that I'd really want to do.
But would you want to have like to go there every day and like, hey, let's check in on the designs and like we got some new samples in today. Like that's your little fantasy of running a store.
I think so. I'm trying to think of like another. I wouldn't want to get into the food industry.
You wouldn't want to like open up a restaurant.
And then sometimes I always think about water parks and theme parks. That is like, if you make a water park, like knowing that someone's going to get hurt or die at your water park freaks me out. Knowing that you're making a fun amusement zone and then knowing that someone's going to have the worst day of their life there. That freaks me out. I would never want to open a pool, or that's a weird industry to get into,
right? Because you have good intentions, but someone's gonna die there.
Someone's gonna die. Someone will drown, and then you have blood on your hands. But at the end of the day, you started that business because you just wanted to see the joy in kids' eyes.
Do you think that the ratio of fun to dying would like balance out in the end?
I just don't want to have to go to court and look someone's parents in the eyes being like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, true.
Sorry.
Is that a fact that at every water park someone has died?
No, but someone is bound to get hurt.
Not with if you focus on safety, and
risk is too high. Risk is way too high.
Okay, so you wouldn't do a water park. You
wouldn't do a water park.
That's fair.
I don't know, maybe like a Nickelmania or something.
A what?
A Nickelmania.
What is that?
You've never gone to like an arcade that only takes nickels? There's tons across the United States.
What are you, born in 1948? What are you talking about?
There was a Nickelmania in my town. Usually they buy a bunch of old arcade games.
And it's only a nickel.
A nickel, so you can play.
That's great.
All the games to the
end. Usually they're 25 cents, and that's like...
But they get you on like, you know... buying pizza and like having lunch there and stuff. But yeah.
Yeah.
You would also, it's a great business, a driving range. Especially if you go out kind of like out in the middle of nowhere.
You just buy some land.
Buy some land.
And that's it.
Buy some balls. Get some old clubs. Have a lawnmower and one of those club pickup things. People will come out to your driving range. I heard it's one of the easiest businesses.
People will just go and...
Yeah. Especially they know it's cheap. They don't have to join a country club or go to some fancy Topgolf or anything like that.
Right. And people do that. Golfers will just go to a driving range rather than playing a hole nine holes.
Right.
I don't know anything about golfing.
I'm about to get fitted for some clubs.
What does that mean?
Well, so I'm 6'3", and your standard golf clubs, I need like half an inch added onto my clubs.
Do they customize it, or they just
they customize like a little... it? They just cut the pole at a certain time. Oh, interesting. Yeah, Patricia's parents.
Wow.
Got me some. So I'm gonna get fitted.
Are you gonna start golfing with like Heath and the boys?
Yeah, because I have good muscle memory when I golf. I went to nothing but golf camps. I hated it as a kid, but now as an adult, I'm like, I'd love to. It's a very like fun Zen thing to go do and go golf, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I get free two carry-ons on American Airlines, so.
Oh, you got that platinum pro status.
So I can travel with my clubs.
Nice.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
That's probably the one thing you do want to spend money on if you win the lottery, is like just flying everywhere first class.
That too. Yeah, that too.
Just the convenience of life becomes a lot easier.
Would you ever become like a country club guy when you're older? Dude, have you ever like been to a country club?
Yeah.
They're really fun. I went to the country club Patricia's parents go to and Patricia went to as a kid. I never had so much FOMO or of looking at like
the people,
the families. Your kids get to go hang out and swim. You get to go play tennis or golf. Get to eat at the restaurant. It's just a day of indulgence for the whole family.
Yes.
And they have friends and stuff. It's kind of a nice scene.
It's like a community. You see your country club friends there. You know it's a place to go. It's a safe place. There's activities. I get it. Like, I've been to country clubs before. I've seen behind the curtain. Like, I've been to like some really, thankfully, fortunately, really nice ones. And I get it, but it's too Gentile for me.
Oh, really?
I've never
not like any Jewish country clubs.
Not really.
Do Jews golf?
I think more so now, but like I've never felt more Jewish.
They got a sauna.
I know. I see it. I get it. I like it. I understand the concept, and like I see the beauty of it.
But what about the networking, the business?
It's all Gentiles. Knowing
your neighbor.
I've never felt more like a Jew than going to a country club, because I can just sense there isn't a Jew for miles in this place. It's just,
I know what you mean.
It's just like old white guys who golf and made a lot of money doing some like, you know, like I can't relate to these people. I get it, but like, for me, I think life is all about the company and the people that you spend it with.
Yeah.
And like, if I go to a country club with friends, cool. But I just think like my DNA doesn't mix with like the type of person that goes to a country club.
I know what you mean.
I love that you can indulge it, because like a country club is made for a guy like you.
But still, it's really not like... kind of for me. I'm not that like...
No. But you know, it's like when you go to the country club in Alabama, you're like with Southern people. You're hearing the accent. Like, you're with families that you know.
But also, I'm still like, get a load of these characters. Still at the same time, I'm not like, these are my people.
No, but I'm saying you're even going with like your girlfriend and her family. And it's not just like... when I would go to like the one country club that I've been to like a few times, I didn't know anybody there. I was just like, I was just sort of... a guest, essentially, with one other person. So I didn't know anybody. I didn't like have this community there. I didn't have relationships with people. I just felt, it's like, I felt like I was in a museum that I like snuck into and didn't buy the tickets for.
Okay.
But maybe there are some Jewish ones, but it's also really expensive to join a country club.
It is. But I feel like it pays off. I don't know. You gotta be asked. There's wait lists to get on.
I know.
I like the exclusivity.
I don't like the exclusivity. The thing is,
I wasn't in a frat. I'm not a Soho member.
Yeah.
There's always this part of me where I never feel like I'm like
accepted
into the club. I mean, I've been a part of great social circles, like you could say the Vlog Squad, but we don't treat ourselves like it's this membership thing.
It's not a society that you have to apply for.
Yeah, but I don't know. I want to have access.
You like the... I'm
sounding completely ridiculous on this.
No, this has like been a fantasy of yours for a while, is to like get invited to an exclusive society.
Too many Gentiles.
No, exclusively Gentiles. I'd be okay if there was, like, you know, in the world, in my world, mostly friends with Gentiles. But, you know, I have some Jewish friends that I talk to, and it's like a nice reminder and connection to, like,
I guess even the thing, though, for me, it wasn't even about, like, how much I would enjoy it. It just seems like my kids would. I don't know. I loved, I had so much, it was the kids, and I'm like, this looks so fun.
Yeah.
They get to then go run around and, like,
it's
play
like
a little game
camp.
Of baseball. Yeah, it looks like some, and they burn off their steam. It's like, yeah, a great way to, like, end a Sunday.
I like, it's so funny that the exclusivity, though, is what draws you to it, because for me, I mean, this is a Groucho Marx line, but I would never want to be a member of a club who would have me as a member.
Yeah.
And a country club, I don't know. That whole concept. Like, did you want to be in a frat? You didn't want
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I did.
But didn't you get pitched and, like, people invited you?
I had
you?
A couple bids.
So yeah. Why didn't you do it?
Because I was on the speech team, and my parents didn't want to pay for this really expensive club.
Oh, so you wanted to be in the frat.
Yeah, I did.
I wonder what, there's something there that, like, what's the reason why you feel the need to be accepted by people?
There's nothing. I like scenes where, like, it's happening. And I think in college, like, there was always these parties and, like, mixers and stuff with a lot of cute, like, Gentile girls that I was like, I want to go, like, hang around, like, I don't know, meet them because... it was just because like the girls that I knew from like high school and stuff, whenever they would go out and party, like, well, we're going to this frat's party tonight. We'll see you later. And so I was like, oh, you know.
You always felt like you were missing out.
Yeah, because, like, you couldn't go in. But, like, frat culture, I fucking hate. Like, I hate. Like,
I know.
I would have hated it, but just to have access to it. Does that make any sense? Actually,
No.
But I don't even know if I'd want my kids to be in a frat. It depends on what school he went to and me sussing it out if this is, like, even a good group of people to even be joining. I'm very sketchy about frat culture.
I'm in agreement with you, but I think I'm about to pull a thread here. In the same way where you know that you have buyer's remorse and you have this anticipation of wanting to buy something, but knowing that, like, the anticipation of it is the thing, I think if you would join one club or do one, like, have joined one frat, you would realize that it's not actually as cool as you make it out to be. Like, the idea of you wanting to join the club is more exciting than actually being in it.
Absolutely. Right on the money. And I'm happy I didn't join a frat. If I joined a frat, I probably wouldn't have even had this lifestyle I have now.
Right.
You know?
They would have made fun of you for being on Vine.
Yes.
You would have been pressured to go.
My whole masculinity, I think, sense of it would have been, like, molded in a whole different way, where I feel like I would have been, like, kind of hardened in a way to, like, suppress my, I don't know, creative, like, expression or just impulses.
Your musical
stuff.
Theater side.
Yeah. But would you... Okay, but if you went to Harvard and you got into the Lampoon, would you join that?
100%.
See?
But that's not... The Lamp... That's like... I would say the Lampoon is more of like a company versus, like... Because they're producing something. They're there to make something. They're there to do something versus a frat or a country club is like, that's just for the status of saying I'm in this. And that's what I, like, reject. Like... You're a human being. What?
The Phoenix Club?
The Penis Club?
The Phoenix Club.
Oh, what about it?
Do you get punched by the Phoenix Club? Sorry. We were just quoting, like, The Social Network and stuff, and it just popped in my head. Did I tell you about the Lampoon thing that was going to happen to me next week?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Can I talk about it?
I think so.
Yeah, this is kind of funny. So Mike and I, we always geek out about the Lampoon. I think it's just really cool that there
are... clarify what it is. The Harvard Lampoon.
Harvard Lampoon is the... the Harvard Lampoon is like the comedy satire publication that Harvard students print. It's like the Onion.
It's the longest running comedy newspaper in America.
A lot of big comedy greats have come through it.
Conan O'Brien.
Colin Jost. I mean, it goes on for days about the Harvard Lampoon, and that's also has origins with the National Lampoon, all of that. So you and me, we've always had interest in it.
Yes.
And
just Harvard in general.
Right. We always love when someone goes to Harvard, but I had never met anybody who had been
in the
Lampoon. So one of our close friends was dating this guy. And when I was in New York, I met him. And he tells me he went to Harvard. But before that, he also did competitive speech in high school. And we knew all of the same people. We knew all of the same interp stuff that we did together. Me and him hit it off like that. He tells me that he's a member of the Lampoon, is an alumni. And I'm just geeking out. dude, I'm such a huge fan. Like, he was telling me every crazy story, tradition, all about his time at the Lampoon.
All the process, their meetings.
He's becoming my bud throughout the whole weekend. And this is a friend is dating this guy. Well, so then into the night, then at one point he goes, Matt, would you be interested in coming to our inductee party for like the new members of the Lampoon? And we also have an honoree section. We will make you an honorary member of the Lampoon, of the Harvard Lampoon. And dude, my heart has never, like, I wouldn't say sank, but it just like exploded. I was like, I cannot believe that this is happening. I'm like, you really mean this? He goes, Matt, 100%, we'd love to have you. I was on cloud nine. I was like, this is really cool. But I'm like, but you know what? No, I'm not a comedian. I'm just this internet personality. Yeah. He goes, no, but you're like a fun young person of interest. How passionate you are about it. I would love for you to be like my honorary inductee member.
Wow.
Couldn't believe it.
Huge.
Then 2 weeks later, my friend breaks up with him. So it's not going to happen.
Is that really what happened?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not going to happen. It would have happened also this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, I thought that was the reason, because you have a trip that you have.
Correct, but still, that was still, you know, everything was still up in the air, but it couldn't have happened. I think about it like every 48 hours, probably. I do. But,
cool.
Kind of cool. Thought I'd share. What are you doing tonight, Mike?
I don't know. What are you doing?
I just texted Patricia, what's the plan tonight? You know, Bryant had a yacht party today.
A yacht party?
A yacht party. You know, Bryant, the photographer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was having like his photo booth party, but on a yacht from 2 to 7.
Hmm.
It sounded like a great invite, but I was like, when I'm not... That line for that photo booth has probably be super long.
Yeah.
Every like model in LA is probably like...
Santa Monica.
Yeah, I was... No, we didn't do that today.
Okay.
I'm glad we did this. But you're not drinking. Will you still go out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just doing it for 30 days to start, because I've never done that in my life. Like, since I started drinking at whatever, 18 or 21, I've never not drank for like, I think 30 days. Because there's always, I'll have a beer. We'll go out. It's a weekend. Like, I've given myself like 1-2 week breaks. But
I don't even remember the last time I've gone.
Like a weekend?
A whole week without drinking.
I know. It's a crazy thing to think about, that like we're so attached to it. And when I was up in New York, like the week before I went to Israel, I was just talking to one of my friends. He's been doing it. He's on day like 55. He lost a bunch of weight, like anxiety disappeared, has more energy, thinking a lot more clearly. And he's like, just try it for 30 days. If you like it, do another 30 and see how
it
goes.
I would do it after the Halloween and do the whole like...
December?
Sober November up until Thanksgiving. Like, you wait until Thanksgiving to drink.
Yeah. I mean, that it's not like, I don't think I
but,
have.
I mean, probably not.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm probably not going
to
do that.
Well, I also think it was easier to get through the first 2 weeks when I was on vacation, because it's like, I'm not in my normal routine anyway. So it's a lot easier to like not fall into the pattern of like having a beer after work, or like going out on a Friday with like you or whoever and having drinks. So the first 2 weeks were kind of a wash. This will be the first test of like, can I get through a weekend without drinking?
That's the thing, is when the weekend comes, my body and mind, like, my body knows it.
I can sense it. But so. But I don't. I also, like, I've been waking up early because of the jet lag, and I want to continue to wake up at like 6 a.m. It's so nice. And just like not being hungover on a Saturday and a Sunday seems really interesting. But, and this is a thing that I was reading about, is like the idea that, when you drink, you like get more confidence and you get happier and like you become more personable, and you think that that's the alcohol doing that, but it's actually the inverse. And that like happiness and outgoingness and confidence that you have is actually inside of you all of the time.
Yeah.
But when you're not drinking, the alcohol has suppressed it, and the alcohol has like trained you to only bring it out when you're drinking. But if you stopped drinking, that would become your natural state. The drinking is just suppressing it when you're sober.
Yeah.
And so, like, you just have to work on that muscle of, like...
I just think also drinking makes people who are drinking a little bit more tolerable to be around.
Yeah.
You know?
Because
I can't imagine not drinking, and then you're hanging around with a bunch of people who have been drinking. You're like, oh, my God, shut up. All of you, shut up. You sound ridiculous, but then when you're drinking, you're like, I know.
Yeah, man. I know exactly what you're talking about. So I'm going to try to get through this weekend. This will be it. But I definitely want to go out, and I think I can present my best self without having a beer or two. Like, and I'm going to try it.
Okay. All respect, man.
So if we're going out.
Guys, thank you so much for hanging with us, just Mike and I chatting. We are so excited to finally be back with you guys. We have a whole bunch of new episodes and great guests that are coming your way. If there's somebody that we haven't had on that you would really like to have or hear from, comment down below. If there's someone that we've already had on and you love them so much, also let us know that. That's always really easy. Anybody we've had on.
Yeah.
We love, because it's always comfortable. We can just pick it back up. And yes, so that. Guys, if you haven't already, we also have a new podcast with Carly and Aaron called Good Influences. It's on YouTube. It's on Spotify. It's on Apple Music. It's everywhere and anywhere where you listen to podcasts. So go check those out. Comment on them that Hoot and Half sent you there. And once again, thank you. Your support means the world. And if you haven't already, leave a review. The reviews always help us, and we love reading them. And yeah, much love. Thank you.
See you next time.
Have a great, great day.